For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Well, you're in Colossians chapter 2 this morning. As we look, we'll go to verse number 8. In verse number 8, reading together here and understanding what is being said and the truth that we can find in the Scriptures, the comfort, understanding the authority of the Word of God in our life and understanding we have a firm foundation with the Word of God and we are on the winning side. We can be encouraged in the day and age that we live in. And understanding here, as we start in verse 8, it says, "Beware," Paul says, "lest any man spoil you or take you captive." Through what? Philosophy. This is the only time this word is mentioned in the Scriptures. Philosophy, vain deceit, emptiness, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this is where we'll key off of this morning. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Father, as we started this morning in Sunday school, we have victory in Jesus. Thank you for the victory. Thank you that we can even come, Father, before your holy throne of grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, because of the love that you have showed, that you've manifested yourself in Jesus. And thank you, the victory that we can have in him. Thank you for the opportunity to share the truth of the Scriptures from the authority of the Word of God. Lord, as the Holy Spirit, we ask, works amongst us as he convicts us, reproves us of sin. He brings us in that we would be willing to acknowledge our sinfulness before you and help us to set aside our pride and help us to understand how we can be complete. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that is not complete in Jesus. Lord, would you draw them to yourself this morning as only you can? Through the power of the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning, we ask you to do that, that they may be complete, fulfilled, whole in Jesus Christ. Lord, may you encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, that as we are complete in him, may we understand we are on the winning side. We have victory. We can rejoice. Even in struggles, there is joy in serving Jesus. There is a world that desperately needs to see the difference. And may we be faithful to stand upon these truths and share them with boldness and truthfulness and love and mercy and grace. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness, your peace you give to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in this passage, some truths that we will expound upon this morning. But this summer, we did have the opportunity to do our Vacation Bible School Hole in One. Hole spelled W-H-O-L-E in one. And if you do some putting or you do some golfing, do I have some golfers among us this morning? All right, Kev. Has anybody got a hole in one in regular golf? I have a hand being raised. Bless your heart. Do you have it on video? No, probably not. But what a special occasion. Actually, in fact, I heard read an article about somebody that's got a court case because he made a hole in one. And on that particular hole, some golf courses say you win a car. Well, he got a hole in one, but they don't want to give the car away now. I'm not sure how that's all going to work out. But anyway, but maybe putt-putt, you've gotten a hole in one. That's more our style, right? The good family activity you can do together. Well, that idea of hole in one spelled H-O-L-E, but the idea here is that idea of hole. This summer, we had a chance to do 8 weeks of vacation Bible school. We saw 10 young people trust Christ as their Savior, and we praise the Lord for that. And many others that we minister to that, boy, just challenges your heart sometimes as you see young people. And maybe we'll share some of that, of just their desperate need. As this message, the Bible school is all about the home, all about the family, the foundations of our society, how God has ordained it, He's designed it. And we'll share that as we continue on. But the opportunity to share that truth in adults and understand a lot of these things I will share with you this morning, you should know, you should be, I should say, promoting. You should be living it out in our lives, and to understand that and realize that. But we had a chance to do this, and as I was looking and understanding complete in Him, whole in one, I thought I'd do this great thing of opening up the dictionary and getting a definition of the word whole. Don't you love it? You open up the dictionary and you're looking for one definition. And then they just keep going and going and going. And just tell me what it means. It's a word. Just give me a definition for it. So I'll give you a few this morning of the word whole. The first one is, the definition for whole is complete. Got that? Entire, unmodified. And then they gave these examples, whole milk or whole eggs. Now I can relate to the whole milk. What is that? Because I grew up on a farm, Ashland, Ohio, raised about 40 head of milking cows along with the calves and the heifers and everything else, about 30 acres and potatoes we raised there also. But I remember as a little guy, I mean a wee little guy, when we would have milk and we have this special stainless steel container in the refrigerator. And I remember when that got empty, it was my job to go down to the milking parlor where the bulk tank was and where the milk comes and then it gets chilled in the bulk tank. And I would take that stainless steel container, I would dip it in the bulk tank, and I would take it right back up to our house and put it in the refrigerator. Now, let me tell you, on the way from the bulk tank to the refrigerator, it did not get pasteurized. No, there wasn't some magic formula that took place. It was whole milk. I still survived. I'm still living. Maybe lost my hair. I don't know. But we're still able to function because we drank real whole milk straight from the cow. We survived. But that was whole. Here's another definition. Whole, in an unbroken or undamaged state. Uncut. Well, a piece of pie. How many like the whole pie? My wife, in this, she does all these dramas. This year it was on Susanna Wesley, John and Charles, you're familiar with, great hymns that Charles written. But she, this is her piece of pie. This, she says, is going with her.
Yes.
In her casket. In her casket. This she uses for every story she does, history she does.
I love this prop.
It's a piece of pie. But how many of you want a whole pie, right? You want the whole thing. There you go. Thanks for some honesty in the front row. But we like the whole pie, not just a piece. Here's another definition. Free of wound or injury, restored. And then this one caught my attention. Having the same father and mother. A whole brother. Thought that was very interesting. Go to verse 8. Here, I believe we have the two foundations and the conflict that we have. In fact, Paul starts it with the word beware. Wake up. Figure it out. There's going to be difficulties. You can succumb to these things. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through what philosophy? What is that philosophy? That philosophy is that idea of wisdom and the love of wisdom from two Greek words, that love of wisdom. But it's that philosophy, that idea of man spoil you is take you captive, captivate your mind and your thinking on what? On vain deceits, emptiness. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and here's the contrary, not after Christ. So here is the difference. Here is the foundations, the two foundations, the two choices. You're either building your life on one or the other. And it's the foundation of either God's word or man's word. And it's the same thing way back at the beginning of Scripture, and especially in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan comes to Eve, Adam and Eve there, and he says, "Yea, hath God said." What's he doing? He's questioning the authority of God's word, and then he offers him the alternative of what man, you can think in your own wisdom. You can reason among yourself. Understanding. If you go to verse 4, up a few verses, it says, "And this I say, lest any man should what? Beguile you through what? Enticing words." See, the contrary is back in verse 3. What is that? This is talking about Christ. It says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Really, all the treasures of true wisdom and knowledge are stored up in Christ. Henceforth, all really education should be Christ-based. If we're going to know truth, the only way to know anything, you can know nothing apart from the biblical God, because he is the center of all wisdom and all knowledge. When we deviate from that, we will have catastrophes take place, and you are living in an age that you are witnessing when we deviate from Christ. And through his wisdom, his truth, the results you are seeing harvested in our culture today. And that is what's taking place. So we need to come back to the truth. But we have these two foundations illustrated for us right here in understanding this truth. In fact, the love of human wisdom characterizes every system of philosophy. They are all follow the tradition of men and the elements of the world. Instead, men should love Christ, who has made true wisdom unto us, and in whom are stored all the treasures of true wisdom and knowledge. How we should love Christ, love his word, and understanding that you're either on one or the other foundations. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. You're either following God's word or you're following man's word. And there are great conflicts of that happening today, and understanding that if man says this, are you going to continue to stand on God's word? It's easy. Let's be honest. It's easy to claim I stand on God's word in a nice church building and atmosphere, is it not? But you come out into the world, and you go out into the world when everybody else is out there and they're promoting their ideas, man's word, becomes a little more difficult, does it not? To say, I'm going to stand on God's word. But we must, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We do not do it with arrogance. We do it with meekness and fear for the love of that soul that they would know the truth. And I believe a lot of young people are wondering today because they haven't been taught the truth. It's really not their fault. Ultimately, they need to give account to God. But us as adults have been void of sharing the truth, not only in here, but out into the world. And we must become equipped to do that and have an answer why we believe what we believe. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 as we think about truth, building that foundation of truth. And I believe what God has established here. You're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "In the sixth day of creation, God made all the land animals, and then his special creation of man begins in verse number 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Oh, if that could be taught. That could be taught in every public school system, in every classroom, weekly, to understand there's a purpose for us here, to bring glory to God. God has created us. Let have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are made in the image of God. A simple definition of the image of God, and going into great detail, is an eternal spirit. We're different than animals. We are not animals. We're not related to animals. We're different than plants. We're different than animals. We are human beings made in the image of God. We have an eternal spirit capable of having a relationship and fellowship with our Creator. We're different. He has made us that we can have a relationship with Him. Make sure you understand that truth. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, make sure you try to teach this to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, that they understand they have a purpose and a meaning in life. And there's a reason why they're here, and it's not about self. It's about bringing glory to God. Amen. All glory be to Christ, the song says. He will reign. He is our King. He is the Lord of lords. All glory be to Him. We think of what's going on in our own culture. That's man's word. That's not God's word. God says we're made in His image. Man says, let's kill him in the womb. How can a civilization do that? Well, if you think of what Scripture says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart of man is evil and wicked. Oh, we have to come to grips with who we really are. If we really understand the mercies of God and the love of God, who am I? Well, we think we're good people. That's not what the Scripture tells us. We're deprived. And that's why they can do such a thing. I was just watching a little clip in Answers in Genesis, and it was horrifying, the story that was told of an abortion. We're killing living human beings. But we say it's okay. We sit in our fancy Congress and Senates all over, statewide, and even in our capital. And as a human society, we say it's okay. The Scripture says something different. Psalm 139:13, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That idea of cover is weaved together. Dr. Minson, down Answers in Genesis, he's gone on to be with the Lord. What a great doctor. He has a lecture about this and has gone down and really, as you look in the microscope and see your skin, it is actually woven together. You just think of just, you know, bend your hand back and forth. You know, the skin up here is not moving much, but when you look at this skin, it all crumples up. But it still works, doesn't it? Man can't replicate it when you burned your hand. You know that? They can't get it right, because it's God's made it perfect, and it's able to heal itself. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. It also says there in Psalm 139, 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We are made in the image of God. We are made after his likeness. What a beautiful creation. But we have to go to the end of verse 27. What does it say? Male and female created he them. In Mark chapter 10, verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. What we are witnessing today in our leadership, in our culture, is appalling. It is sickening. Shame on adults. We get upset about it, but when you think about it, we need to cry to heaven for their souls, that they would see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That maybe somebody today would share with them that they're made in the image of God. There is a purpose, there is a Savior, there's a Creator, there's a Redeemer, and they need Christ. All those are not just spiritual leaders, are government leaders. We're instructed to pray for them. They need Christ. Do we have a concern? We can complain all we want about the decisions they make, but ultimately, as a body of Christ, we should be concerned about the eternity, where they're going to spend eternity. It's only by the grace of God and the mercies of God that they would ever trust Christ as their Savior. But it's our responsibility to pray for them and to think about their eternal destiny, hell for eternity. When you start to think about it, would you be concerned about them a little bit? It's everlasting. Oh, but the decisions that are being made in telling these young children that they can do these things. You know why it's happened? Because nobody's taught these children to begin with. Nobody's taught the parents of these children what is right and wrong. Because we've thrown the foundation that God's established out, and we've gone our own way by our own wicked hearts, and then we've deviated it into all kinds of sin that becomes very fruitful now. You read Romans chapter 1, you see it all displayed right there very clearly. And we are watching it. It's bad TV, if you want to say. It's not a good watch. But we must still be faithful. We must still be sharing the truth. But we must also live it out. Live it out in our lives, because there's so many things that will distract us and get us sidetracked. But as you think of this foundation and you understand these young people, I mean, they're telling them they can get dressed up, they can get drugged up, they can get cut up, but they're either still a male or a female, and that's what God said. But the world is contrary to that. Man says something else. You got a war right here happening. Where are you going to stand? What are you going to share about? Oh, we must stand upon it. Faithfully, under the authority of what God has said. And if you have a chance, be prepared. Be ready to give an answer, to share the love of Christ. In chapter 2, it's more of a definition of what took place on day number 6. We have God's institution that is this umbrella, that is this foundational institute that He has established so clearly. And you look at verse 24. And it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You have leave, cleave, and complete, or that one flesh. Leave, cleave, and complete. This is God's institution. But what is happening? Out in the world, they say two men can get married, two women can get married, but there's only one marriage. It's between a man and a woman. That's what God describes here. He describes it in Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter number 10. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter number 5. A whole way through Scripture, this is the institution. But what is happening? God's established it. It's one man, one woman for life. Under this umbrella, God says, teach your children the truth from the Word of God, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Children, you're to obey your parents. Husbands, you're to love your wives. And wives, you're to submit to your husband. But under this umbrella, parents are to teach the children. And then, when the Scriptures, and you're to teach them the Word of God, especially the fathers to teach the children the Word of God, is the instructions in Scripture. And you have this beautiful picture, teaching the children, raising them up to learn obedience. People don't obey today, do they? Why? Because they never learned it in the home, did they? No. So this is God's over here. But over here we have dysfunctional homes. The kids don't know whether they're going to mom's, to dad's, to grandpa's, or grandma's house, the aunt's house. They don't know where they're going. And then we bring them into church and we say, love Jesus. They don't have a clue. I believe this institution God has ordained, it is a much easier step to believe a God that's created you when you grow up in this type of home. But when you grew up in this dysfunctional home over here, although it's our opportunity to minister to them, it is so much more difficult. We witnessed this year down, not far from here, St. Mary's, West Virginia, right in the Ohio River, 39 young people all bussed in. I mean, and all from all different kinds of situations. And they ran two buses and brought them all in. I witnessed a mother, first time she ever came into the church Wednesday night or whatever night it was. In her shorts, she went here. Four young people were in that Bible school. This was before it started. All from different fathers. They came and hovered around her. She went back there. They went back there, hovered around. They went over there. They circled the church just hovering around their mother, wanting love from their mother. First time she'd ever been to church. I don't think she ever came back. She never came back the rest of the week. But that's all these kids want. They want a father and a mother to love them and bring them up. Parents, grandparents, young people, if you've grown up in that type of home, don't be unthankful for it. You read 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a time of the end times. Unthankful to parents. Unthankful to parents. Yet God's institution, young people straying, being unthankful, it is a sign of the end. How we need to be faithful, to understand, to leave. Leave father and mother. It says leave, cleave, complete. That idea of leave is to leave father and mother. I believe the responsibility to honor one's parents does not cease with leaving your parents. My wife and I this spring, before we started out in Bible school, had a chance to go to where my father and mother are buried in Ashland, Ohio, where her grandmother is buried there. We went to her dad's, Ron Merrill's, cemetery plot in Greenville, South Carolina, had a chance to stop there. Why? Because we want to continue. I believe you honor them even in their death. And after they die, it's not that you raise them up as some special. I don't know. You follow their faith, as Hebrews 13 talks about what they went through and how they were faithful to God. And you honor that and remember how they have impacted and what they have done for you. But this idea of leaving father and mother, but does represent the beginning of a new primary responsibility to God. The idea of cleave unto his wife, be joined together, hold fast, one flesh, that idea of complete, thus speaks of the marital union was complete, whole with two people. Henceforth, one man, one woman constitutes the pair to reproduce one flesh. One man, one woman, the two is the only way that you're going to reproduce. And we need to reproduce. Our country, China, others' countries, we're not reproducing ourselves, folks. There's going to be some generations down the line. There's going to be great, great consequences for abortion. Because society will not be able to go on. Because you can't sustain yourself unless you're reproducing yourself. The marital relationship was established as the first human institute. The home is the first and most fundamental of all human institutes ordained in Scripture. The home is the backbone of a nation. If the family can be destroyed, the Christian fabric and society will ultimately unravel. And you are witnessing that today. Back in Colossians chapter 2, if you would turn back there with me. We have this foundation. We have the authority of Scripture and understanding. We have deviated from that. Maybe you're in a situation where there has been great complications in marriage and divorce and different things going on, because that is what's happened in our society and culture. Although men and women through the ages have corrupted the divine institution, marriage in many ways, adultery, divorce, polygamy, homosexuality, LGBTQ, from the beginning it was not so. But we must realize there is sin. But we must also realize through the sin, we still can be made complete. We can still be made whole through the forgiveness that Jesus offers us. How does Jesus heal? How can he heal us? You just remain in where you're at right now. I'm going to read you some verses. These are found in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter number 9. In Matthew 9, verse 22, it says this. I want you to look for a term here, a word that we've used a lot this morning, of how Jesus heals. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." and the woman was made whole from that hour. In Matthew chapter number 12, in verse number 13, it reads this way, Matthew 12, 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. How does Jesus heal? It says whole in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 28. It says this, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Verse 31 in Matthew 15, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified God of Israel. This word, how did Jesus heal here physically? He healed how? Whole. We could go to Mark chapter 3, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 34, Luke 6, 10, Luke 7, 10, Luke 8, 48, Luke 17, 19, John 5, 6, John 14, 15, and then John 7, verse 23. And every time in the Gospels when Jesus healed, it says he healed them whole. How many want to check into that doctor tomorrow, right? Well, I want to be whole, complete, physically. We struggle. We all struggle with it. This is our bodies. They're decaying. They're getting older, and we struggle day after day. But one day, they're going to be made whole. But when Jesus was on the earth, he healed physically whole. They were completely whole. You know, many of you go to CVS, I don't know, what do you have down here, Walgreens, whatever drug stores you have, pharmacies, whatever it might be. You go in there, you get your pills, you get your prescription, you wait in line trying to get your pills, and you get your pills, you take them home because you want to feel better, right? This is going to help me feel better because we want to feel better. We're trying to live longer, but it's a process. That's not how Jesus healed. That's not how Jesus heals. All the healings of Jesus made people completely healthy. Amen. Completely healthy. No progression involved. Healings of Jesus made them whole. What a beautiful picture of having physical healing. But what a beautiful picture spiritually. Amen. Verse number 10. In chapter 2 of Colossians, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. You and I can be made whole in Jesus. We can make complete in Jesus. We can be fulfilled in Jesus. Understanding Jesus is enough. How many religions are there where they add on and try to do all their works because they need to add something else, because we think we have to do something in order to earn our salvation. Folks, we can do nothing. We are helpless and hopeless without the love of Jesus Christ. We can do nothing. You can give all the money you want in that offering plate. You can come to as many Sunday services as you want. You can even get baptized, but that does not save you. It's only when you realize your guilt before a holy, holy God, and that you have no hope, but in Jesus, in Christ, the hope of glory reigns. Your eternal destiny reigns in Jesus Christ. It's described here in verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised. This is Paul writing to the Colossians here, remembering this, in whom ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This wasn't made a physical circumcision, the men did, but in what? In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. It's the cutting away of self. Getting rid of self and surrendering to Christ. My friend, this morning, you're either a slave to Christ or you're a slave to sin. There's no in between. You're either a slave to Christ or a slave to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Verse number 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. The faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And this is what we must realize, verse 13. And you and me, being dead in your sins. Do you know how many people are dead people walking around today? We're dead. We're dead in our sins. You're dead in your sins if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And the uncircumcision of your flesh. You haven't got rid of yourself, the old man, the wickedness of your heart. But this is what Jesus offers. He hath quickened you. He's made you alive together with him. This is what he gives you. Having forgiven you all trespasses, everything that you have ever thought, every wicked word that you've ever said, the pride of your heart and life, every wicked deed that you've ever done, all are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Oh, are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful every morning, the mercies of God, the grace of God? The beautiful picture here, the metaphor, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. When a criminal was crucified, the charges against him were specified, being nailed to his cross. In this case, the charges against Christ encompassed the whole law of God because Christ was dying for all the sins of all the world. Our sins were written across that cross. And he, through his sacrifice, the blood shed, because the wages of sin is death, he died your death. And there, all those sins are gone. They're blotted out. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. The song I sang says, I cannot hide from God. He knows your sin. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Don't think you can hide behind some computer in a dark room and thinking you're hiding from God. Whatever you're doing, God sees it. Let God, let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart and your life. You and me, we will have to stand before God. And every knee will bow and confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. But that beautiful picture, how all those sins can be blotted out. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, you don't know what I've done, preacher. I don't need to know, but God does, and he says he can forgive your sin. Would you believe him? This picture here, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This phrase, principalities and powers, this phrase refers usually to the angelic hierarchy, and it occurs 8 times in the New Testament, all in the writings of Paul. In this case, though, it refers specifically to the satanic band of rebellious angels surrounding Christ on the cross. By dying for the sins of the world, Christ actually defeated Satan. Even though the devil may well have been temporarily gloating over his apparent triumph, because he thereby paid the price to redeem all men from the satanic captivity. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You and I can be complete in him. That is our challenge. Many of you sit here complete in him this morning. By God's grace, you've heard the gospel of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and you put your faith and trust in him. But our responsibility as Christians, there are others who need Christ. We must share that truth with them. We must share it through living it out in our lives and dedicating our lives in that sanctification process as we desire to grow closer to God. Be ye holy, for I am holy, and our desire to live godly lives before this world. But also speaking it, sharing the truth, and sharing the gospel with others, whether in tract form, which there's many opportunities here you have available to do that, and the supply of them are available to you, or in testifying or witnessing to people, turning your conversations towards Jesus and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to say that he is worth it all. Amen. And understanding. But there may be somebody here this morning, and you are without Christ. You're not complete. You're empty. You're not complete. There is nothing in this world that's going to satisfy you. Nothing whatsoever. Would you become complete in Him this morning? Would you say, Christ, I believe. I know I've sinned. I'm guilty before You. And I want to trust in what Jesus has done. He's blotted out all those sins on the cross. Would you trust Him this morning? God loves you. God wants you to repent, turn from your sins, and head to Jesus. Change your directions, a 180, and head to Jesus. In Him, you will be complete, fulfilled, and whole in Him. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of the Scripture. Thank You for the authority of the Word of God this morning. We pray this morning that You would use the Word of God in our lives.